Here we go.
I would like to be known as the Big Aristotle.
And I'm determined to bring a championship to Minnesota.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me?
Oh, ho, ho! Up high, down hard! Yeah! In your life have you seen anything like that?
I can't believe you're a ball player. I think you should be working at the snack bar.
Don't you ever touch my puck! How do you like that?
We're talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We're talking about practice.
Well, we're live. I didn't know that.
They are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Good afternoon. Welcome into The Scoop here on KLGR, 1490 AM and FM 95.9. The Scoop did not air in its entirety today due to severe weather coverage, but had a chance to talk with one of our first regular guests that will be on The Scoop on a weekly basis, that being Brandon Warren, who covers the Twins for a website called Cold Omaha. ColdOmaha.com if you want to check it out. I recommend it. Very, very well put together website, so be sure to give that a look. But we do have that interview that I recorded with Brandon while we were in severe weather coverage, so we're going to play that for you here for today's edition of the podcast, and then we'll be back at full strength again for tomorrow's show of The Scoop. Some things that you can look for on tomorrow's program include the first edition of our new segment called The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. So be sure to listen for that tomorrow on the show. And we also will have some other things that we will, of course, be touching on. We'll mention how the Twins do tonight. They play Anaheim in Los Angeles, so I'll be keeping an eye on that game, and we'll make sure to let you know how things turn out tomorrow on the show. And also, we will have our first edition of Film Study, where we'll take a look at a couple of sports movies. We'll give you the reviews of those movies, as well as probably play the trailers for you as well. So that's all coming up on The Scoop tomorrow, starting at 3:05 here on KLGR. And as for right now, for our edition of the podcast here today, here's that interview that I recorded earlier today with Brandon Warren of Cold Omaha. We're back here on The Scoop and pleased to be joined by Brandon Warren, who covers the Twins for the website Cold Omaha. Brandon, thanks for joining me on The Scoop.
Hey, I'm happy to be on here for the first time, and hopefully the ambient noise around here isn't too loud.
No, it'll be just fine. We're talking Twins today, and obviously the season well underway. Twins sitting at 20-43 on the season, and coming into the year, really a lot of expectations put on this Twins team after the success that they had last year, contending for a wild card until basically the last couple of weeks of the season, and things just really have not gone according to plan for this Twins team. Not a whole lot was done during the offseason with free agent acquisitions, other than the acquisition of Byung-ho Park, who started off pretty well, but has struggled to hit major league pitching over the past few weeks. But, Brandon, I wanted to start by asking, in your mind, what has been the biggest disappointment for this Twins team so far this season?
Oh, wow. I'm trying to pick just one is difficult. I mean, offensively, they haven't scored enough runs. Pitching, the rotation has struggled at times. The bullpen has been up and down. And maybe the bullpen has been the best of the three, which is hard to believe. But offensively, you've seen disappointing starts to the season for Trevor Plouffe and for Brian Dozier. You know, the Eduardo Escobar off to his slow start, he's lost his starting spot to Eduardo Nunez, who's been a bright spot, actually, at short. But it's just been a difficult stretch here for the Twins. Eddie Rosario came out flat. Byron Buxton needed some more time in the minors. And that's, before long, you've described over half of the lineup having significant struggles at some point. Add to that a pitching staff that you know, the rotation specifically is averaging about 5 innings per start, and it's a recipe for disaster, and so far it's panned out exactly like that.
One of the things that really was puzzling, I guess is the word that I use to describe it, was just, like I had mentioned, the lack of moves that were made in the offseason to try to kind of complement what the Twins did so well last year. And we've seen a lot of the players, you know, who have been put under the magnifying glass that have really struggled this year. So one of the things that I have been, I'd say, most disappointed with is just the way the team has been handled by Terry Ryan and the coaching staff as well.
Yeah, there's been parts that have been disappointing. I think when you look at last year's roster to this year's roster, you would have envisioned that kind of a fallback, because short of moving on from Torrey Hunter and adding Byung-ho Park, who should be a better offensive player than Hunter was, you know, you shouldn't expect too much of a fallback. And it either means the team played significantly far above their heads last year, which is part of what I thought as well. But some guys just have not returned this year with the same mentality or the same execution. And I almost wonder if some of these young guys thought that the success would come pretty easy for them and didn't necessarily need to work as hard in the off season or some kind of preparation thing. And boy, they've gotten smacked in the mouth. If that was ever what they thought they were dealing with in this situation, boy, the reality check has been very cruel for this team. And to be 23 games under 500 entering mid-June, I can't imagine it being any worse than that.
Yeah, it's been about a worst case scenario that the Twins could have expected here this year. That doesn't mean there haven't been any bright spots this year. You mentioned one, Eduardo Nunez, who has really impressed for pretty much the entire season, being able to step in for various players at various spots in the infield to get some regular at bats. But also another player that I have been very impressed with since he was acquired by the team is Robbie Grossman, as a guy who came in with relatively low expectations, and he's really shined here this year as well.
Yeah, you know, I wrote something about him today that'll go up here probably in the next couple hours, but basically the breakdown with him is he's absolutely slaughtering fastballs. And so you look at a guy like that and you think, oh, well, then he's going to start getting more breaking balls. Well, his eye has been so good at the plate that he's forced pitchers into counts where they've had to throw fastballs, and either they have thrown fastballs and he's hit them hard, or they've thrown more breaking balls and he's taken them and they haven't been strikes. And so it's been a progression for him to the point where he's really looked like a legitimate big leaguer for just about 100 plate appearances here. And, you know, I don't know that he projects as a starting left fielder moving into the future, but he's obviously playing well enough that they have to ride the hot hand. And, you know, he looks pretty good defensively in left. The arm's not obscenely strong, but he's at pretty good range. And, again, the walks. You know, you can't take a guy like that out of the top of the order, let alone the lineup altogether, if he's taken walks like he has. And so I tell you, he was a pretty well-regarded prospect coming into the 2012 season with the Astros, and he's starting to really round into form. I think he's only 26 years old, so it could be a building block for the Twins in the future, even if it's not as a starter, but as a nice glue guy towards the back of that roster.
Absolutely. We're talking with Brandon Warren, who covers the Twins for the website Cold Omaha. Brandon, had a chance to check out the website when we were kind of getting things lined up. Really impressed with not only how the website is designed, but also just the varying amounts of coverage for everything on the site. So wanted to make sure to give you some kudos for that here as well today. Looking at the MLB draft, which was just happened for Major League Baseball, the Twins with the 15th pick, and I don't know if this was a surprise for you, but a little bit of a surprise for me that they ended up taking an outfielder with their first pick in the draft, Alex Kirilloff of Pittsburgh. Just wanted to get your take on the Twins opting to go that route in the first round.
Well, I think a lot of the draft people that had steam or had spoken to the Twins had come away from a situation of thinking that they were taking a pitcher, maybe most likely a high school guy, but there was a guy from Boston College named Justin Dunn that was also an option as well. But I think, you know, Keith Law tweeted that he had thought they were coming away with a pitcher, and they go ahead and take the prep outfielder, Tool the Kid, more of a corner guy, but good defense, good arm, good bat, and, you know, he's playing now for the state tournament championship in Pennsylvania here. I think on Thursday he'd cap a 25-0 season, pretty much a dream senior season to do that, go in the first round and all that and hang out with your buddies. And I think the hope is that they can get him signed pretty quickly and send him to the Appalachian League. which is the more advanced of their two rookie leagues. They believe his approach at the plate is so advanced for an 18-year-old kid that he's going to be ready to jump in to that higher-end rookie league right away. Wow. And, you know, they've given him some pretty good comps. Christian Yelich is one of the guys who, obviously, a great player. If he became Christian Yelich, the Twins would be thrilled. But even Max Kepler, a toolsy outfielder that took a little while to come and bring everything together. But there's walks in that profile. There's power. There's a lot of good things there. And if he can become another Max Kepler, that's pretty exciting as well.
Absolutely. Were there any other guys that the Twins took in the later rounds that really kind of caught your attention?
Well, I closely profiled the second and third and fourth picks. I'm excited about the catcher from Wisconsin. I know there's his name is Ben Rourke. That I know there aren't a lot of there's a huge track record of preps coming out of Wisconsin, but this guy apparently he's got a great arm. He's not a real huge guy, but good power, good bat to ball skills. There's a belief he can pick a catcher and do a really nice job. And you know, organizations are always going to need catchers. The Twins will always draft five or six catchers every single year. But to go this high with a pick on a high school kid, they must have done a lot of homework on him. The other two picks were an outfielder named Akil Badu, who's got some pretty good tools and is believed to be a pretty exciting player. And then they took a shortstop out of the, I believe, Puerto Rico, whose name is escaping me right now. I think his last name was Miranda. And Twins have a lot of success in Puerto Rico with Eddie Rosario and Jose Berrios and Kenny Vargas all making the big leagues after the Twins gave them a look. So to see players come out of Puerto Rico, especially a shortstop, is kind of exciting. And, you know, they went pretty toolsy with their top four picks. Didn't take a pitcher. They went position players, which is also interesting. But, you know, I was interested by those four picks, and they all look like they have varying levels of intrigue to the Twins.
Excellent. We're talking with Brandon Warren of Cold Omaha. The Twins playing in Los Angeles against the Angels. They ended up winning the game last night by a score of 9-4. And something that I guess has kind of just been an oddity this year is the fact that the Twins have been 4-0 so far against the Angels. Is there anything specific that they're doing right against the Angels that they're not doing against other teams? Or has it just been kind of a luck thing in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been a luck thing. But at the same time, what the Angels have really struggled with is pitching all season long. Their rotation has been embattled. Jared Weaver's battling a number of things. Ineffectiveness, bad velocity, bad luck. I mean, his defense let him down last night. And it just starts from there. They had to trade for Ulysses Chacin from the Braves, after he had put together a couple of nice starts in Atlanta. I mean, they're just scrambling for arms. They signed Tim Lincecum, who's supposed to be joining the team this weekend, but they're grabbing at anything they can find to nail it down to try stick in this American League West race. You know, they're 10 games under 500 and still not out of it. And so it's a situation where they'll take all the positivity they can. They got some guys coming back. I know Nick Tropiano is due back pretty soon. I think they're still hoping to get something out of C.J. Wilson this year. They got Tyler Skaggs. They've got Andrew Heaney that they're missing. I mean, it's been just a disaster for them as far as starting rotation is considered. And yet they're still not out of it. They got Mike Trout. So you can't rule out a team that's got, you know, the number one overall talent in all of baseball, or number two if you like Bryce Harper better. And so it's going to be fun to see from a distance how they try to patch up that rotation. But it's not been very fun for Mike Socha and the fans out there to watch so far.
Yeah, it's been a rough go for a team that is routinely talked about as being one that you expect to see in October, that being the Angels. But I'm sure if they're able to add a couple pieces at the deadline, they could certainly turn it around in the AL West. Heading into tonight's pitching matchup, you mentioned Ulysses Chacin, who the Angels acquired. He starts tonight against Irvin Santana, and it's been a bit of a rough go for Santana over the past few games. Just what are your thoughts on what Irvin needs to do here tonight in order to try to get back on track? Sitting with a 1-6 record and an equally ugly 4.77 ERA on the season.
You know, I feel like it's going to be big for him to go out and pitch against his old team. I mean, maybe not that many guys left there, but I think there's still a motivation to go out and pitch well in the stadium that you spent a large part of your career. It seems to me what has happened to him in starts recently is he's just unraveled. And for a veteran guy, 30-some-odd years old, coming unraveled like that is uncharacteristic. And I was covering the Marlins game that he pitched, and it looked to me like the dugout for the Marlins got under his skin. And so I don't know if there's something out there that says you can rattle him from the dugout, or if you can get him unnerved when things go bad and he just kind of comes apart. But that's what I've seen from him in recent starts. He looks good, starts cruising early, gets the slider going, gets the fastball, and then he can locate the changeup when he's got the opportunity to work ahead. But the changeup hasn't been great lately. The slider he can only use when he can locate it, and he's been in situations lately where it's, you know, just when he becomes a one-pitch pitcher, just like anybody else, he's going to get hammered, and that's been basically what's gone on. You get him rattled, he doesn't throw strikes, and he just comes apart. And again, you would expect that out of a rookie, not some guy who's, you know, 32, 33 years old.
Absolutely. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he is able to kind of fight off some of those late-inning struggles here tonight. Brandon, you mentioned that you are working on, you worked on a piece on Robbie Grossman that'll be up on the Cold Omaha website later on here today. Is there anything else that you're working on here throughout the rest of the week that you'd like to kind of spotlight here, would like to give you the opportunity there to just talk about anything you might be working on for the rest of the week too?
You know, I'm always working on bullpen stuff just because it's such an ever-evolving group. I might write a profile on Brandon Kinsler if he keeps running as well as he has lately. He's given me some pretty good information. And another interesting thing to me too is Michael Tonkin and how good he's been, you know, blowing away David Ortiz with 98, 99 mile per hour fastballs. His four-seam fastball moves so much that the PitchFX algorithm, which tells you what pitches are based on how much they break, they call his four-seamer a two-seamer. That's how much run it has on it.
Wow.
And so it's been fascinating to see his evolution. And, you know, he would probably be the closer on this team if he could hold base runners better. And so I still look for big things from Michael Tonkin. I think the Twins do as well. And he's been very fun to watch. And, maybe I'll write up a profile on him here when the Twins come back to town, starting with the Yankees series on Thursday.
Excellent. Well, Brandon, great to talk to you here on The Scoop to kind of get things going here. Look forward to following your coverage throughout the course of the rest of the season. And for fans who are wondering, you can follow Brandon on Twitter, @Brandon_Warne, spelled W-A-R-N-E. Be sure to give him a follow. He's a great follow on Twitter. A lot of good insight into the Twins, and I look forward to this segment here throughout the rest of the summer. Should be great.
Sounds great. I look forward to it as well.
All aboard!
Enough's enough! Taunting Marty Foster to throw him out, and he's gone.
And he gone.
Fans want an ejection. There he goes.
And we'll see you tomorrow night.
Well, there you have it, a very brief version of The Scoop here for today. Very excited to have Brandon on board as one of our guests throughout the course of the summer. Does a great job breaking down the Twins, and certainly lucky to have him as a guest to break down the Twins throughout the course of the year. So you can be listening for Brandon every Tuesday during The Scoop going forward. And be sure to tune in tomorrow, as mentioned, highlighted some of the things that we've got coming up on tomorrow's episode. We'll be back at full strength at 3:05 for another edition of The Scoop. So we'll see you then tomorrow on KLGR.